whom. Three little chapters. We're going to move through them tonight. And Nahum had one purpose from God, and that was to announce God's judgment on Assyria. The Lord is mad with Assyrians. And, you know, he gets disgruntled with us and stuff. But when he pronounces his wrath, what does Scripture tell us about that? It's an awesome thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And so he's going to use Nahum, one of the minor prophets that only was able to tell them what the Lord would have them to know. And so Nahum was just a little prophet there in Nineveh. And Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. God goes straight to the heart to start with them, going to their capital city. And he prophesied, you know, after Jonah, when we studied Jonah, and Jonah got spit back out of that whale's belly, he went down to Nineveh and the people repented. You remember that? They had revival, but it didn't last long. Wasn't long before they'd right back doing what they'd done before and stuff. And so God is very upset with them and what they're doing in their lives and how they act into it. So Nahum's job is very simple. He's just going to proclaim God's judgment on them. And in doing so, with it being such a wicked nation, Nineveh was given the nickname City of Blood. And how many cities across America today, with all the violence and gunfighting and killing and stuff, could be called, nicknamed a City of Blood? And there was all kind of adultery and murder and lying and you name it, it took place. And what was happening. Now it says in verse 1 of chapter 1, an oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Now an oracle is just a message from God, plain and simple. And Elkosh was a little village, be about like Bendale or McLean or Beaumont or Agcola or something. And nobody's certain, but they thought it was down in the southwest part of Judah or Israel there, and what alone they have there. It says the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes a vengeance and filled with, what is wrath? Anger, that's right. Like my thumb is in it because it won't separate that page. Turned two loose and got four, that's pretty good. Bear with me, it's going to go. Come bleed or blister, as Bono said. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. A lot of people, because something don't happen directly to them, you know, and it's going on somewhere else or with someone else or whatever, they don't think that God's going to mess with them, you know. But he's saying here that the Lord takes vengeance on his foes. He maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind of the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. Swift in what he does, isn't it? Quick. He rebukes the sea and he dries it up. Our river, we like to witness that this fall. That watched it just dry up to just you could walk across just almost anywhere. And he said he makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. All the things that these little villages and towns and cities were known for were targeted by God. Bashan and this other city of Carmel here withered. That's rich, fertile ground. Sheep and cattle and donkeys and stuff. That's where, but the drought, it dried it up, the rivers, it dried up to the pastures and stuff. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembled at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. Anybody want to volunteer to go heads up with the Lord? We ain't that crazy, are we? But what is he saying here? There's many people today is going nose to nose with him because they got their eternity on the line of making an unwise decision. And he said in verse 7, the Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him, but with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes and witnesses. And you think about this. It don't matter day or night, 24/7. God's pronounced his wrath upon Nineveh. He's going to wipe that place out. It's going to be. He said, whatever they plot against the Lord, he'll bring it to an end. You think we got anything, armies or military strength or power or wisdom that can stand up to God? How many times in the Old Testament did we see how the Lord would just put people in position here and then tell them, just stand back and watch. I don't need you. Single-handedly. How many thousand men was it he killed in a day? 38,000 or whatever it was. You know, it was awesome. And that's what Nahum's saying here. Whatever the Lord plots, whatever he says, it's going to come to an end. Whatever they do. Verse 10 says, they will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry stubble. They're going to be about their everyday doings, partying hardy, doing whatever they want to do. Ain't got a thought that just over the horizon, the Lord's fixing to do what? Wipe them out. From you, O Nineveh, has one come forth who plots evil against the Lord and counsels wickedness. They just defied God in every way. Anything, you know, you just about the time you think they couldn't get any worse, they do, you know. And so he's told them what their sins is and what the Lord's going to do. And listen to what he says, the Lord says in verse 12. This is what the Lord said. Although they have allies and are numerous, they'll be cut off and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, O Judah, Judah is just another name for Israel, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. So He's letting them know here. And what he's doing is that whoever Assyria afflicted was to be destroyed and would never rise to torture anybody again. God intends to completely wipe them out. And the things that are happening in their lives. And he said, the Lord has commanded you concerning you. Nineveh, you will have no descendants to bear your name. What does that tell? No descendants to bear your name. Nobody to carry the Haver name on, or the Williams name, or the John's name, whatever. He said, I will destroy the carved images and cast idols that are in the temple of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are vile. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, old Judah. Fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. And things that are happening, Nineveh was so completely wiped out that all of its ruins were not even able to be identified until way years later. 1845, if I remember correct, was the date I believe I read that they discovered where Nineveh was and could put everything back together there, but a few pieces. So let's see what Nineveh does. He's heard what the Lord says, and how it's going to happen. But Nineveh is about to fall. He said, an attacker advances against you, Nineveh. Guard the fortress. Watch the road. Brace yourself. Marshal all your strength. And so all this chapter is doing here is predicting the events that's going to take place. And when all these armies that are combined of the Babylonians and the Medes, they are going to completely take over Nineveh. The Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob, like the splendor of Israel, though destroyers have laid them waste and have ruined their vines. So Assyria had plundered and crushed the northern kingdom, or Israel, and Assyria wasn't good enough just to attack the northern kingdom. They went after the southern kingdom too. And here that southern kingdom was called Jacob in that dealings there. And they came in, they took over the city, and they forced them to pay tribute, kind of like watching the gangsters and the mob and stuff, back in the day. And they'd go into a man's business, and if he didn't pay whatever they, every week, they'd come by and collect their money, 10% or whatever, 20%. Them old movies we've watched, and seen and done. That's the way they was doing Nineveh. And Nineveh was doing all these other areas around here. And so God said, we're going to restore the splendor of Jacob, or the southern kingdom, or Jerusalem, like the splendor of Israel. Said the shields of the soldiers are red, the warriors are glad in scarlet. The metal on the chariots flashes on the day that they are made ready. The spears of pine are burnished, brandished. The chariots storm through the streets, rushing back and forth through the squares. They look like flaming torches. They dart about like lightning. What'd they use those chariots for? Sticking out on the side of them, they had those sharp objects. They'd ride through a crowd of folks. Can't you see them horse and chariot with them thing going down Bourbon Street, wide open, on Mardi Gras? How many people do you think it would wipe out? Yeah. You know, I had to vision something in my mind, but these large crowds that gather from parades and ball games and all this sort of stuff, you know. And that's simply what they were doing here. They were clad in scarlet, and scarlet being what? Blood. And why? Get hacked all to pieces, you're going to bleed, aren't you? Yeah. Concerning that, he summoned his picked troops, yet they stumble on their way. He went in and out of all of his armies. He got the very best, and they stumbled on their way. They dashed to the city wall. The protective shields is put in place. The river gates are thrown open, and the palace collapses. It is decreed that the city be exiled and carried away. Get what left in there. When they opened the floodgates, what did they do? Flooded the city, didn't it? Many people lost their lives in that. And the protective shield wasn't doing them any good. And he said here, it is decreed that the city be exiled and carried away. And going back into captivity. Its slave girls moan like doves and beat upon their breast. Why do they don't want to go back into exile? Being used as sex objects and treated so poorly to them. They didn't want no more of that life. Nineveh is like a pool, and its water is draining away. Stop, stop, they cry, but no one turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. The supply is endless. The wealth from all around its treasure. She is pillaged, plundered, stripped, hearts melt, knees give way, bodies tremble, every face grows pale. Sickening sight to see what's taking place at that beautiful city of Nineveh. Once one of the capital of the Assyrians, so you know it was, but now it's known as what? City of Blood. You understand why it's called the City of Blood now? What's taking place here? Well, whose armies is doing all this? God doesn't need an army, did he? Let's see what he says here. Where now is the lion's den? The place where they feed their young. Where the lion and the lioness went, and the cubs with nothing to fear. The lion killed enough for his cubs and strangled the prey for his mate, filling his lairs with the kill and his den with the prey. What is that lion doing? He's taking care of his own. The lion, he said, the lioness and the cubs. He goes, he finds prey. He brings in enough for himself, his wife, and his two cubs, you know, and puts them in safety inside a But listen what the Lord says about that. And God's given his people a chance to repent. And just like they did after Jonah. But they returned to their sin. And the consequences was causing them to be destroyed in their life. Verse 13, he says, I am against you, declared the Lord Almighty. I will burn up your chariots in smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. I'll leave you no prey on the earth. The voice of your messengers will no longer be heard. Now the lion and the lioness and the cubs are representative of the royal court. They're in Nineveh, the powers to be. And they thought they would be what? Exempt, didn't they? They would be protected because they were within the walls of the city, you know, and they had to, you know, like our armed forces went in a couple of 3 weeks ago and got that dude. He thought he was safe too, didn't he? They brought him out of there, didn't he? And stuff. This is the way I see these folks here. And they are just a prey now. They just like any other average citizen out there. They don't have any real protection. They don't have. Why? Has God abandoned them? No, they abandoned God, didn't they? God gave them time and time again to repent, and what did they do? So what does that tell us about folks, you know, that when you try to talk to them about their relationship with the Lord, you know, and they don't want to hear it, and they may do a little good for a while and then fall back out by the wayside, you know, and stuff. And so God giving them chance and chance and chance. But there's times that God has to show us who's boss, you know. And I think one of the ways he does that is to try to get us to understand is through all the natural disasters that we have experienced down through the years, the floods, the fires, and on and on and on, hurricanes, tornadoes, you name it. And it's all out there. And 911 brought us close together for just a short while. And then the first thing you knew, there's plenty of room in the pews then. But, all right, chapter 3. And all of the beauty and majesty of prestige of power that Nineveh had, it's gone. They have nothing to seduce these other countries or nations to come in and help them. And he said here, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. Think about it. Where'd they learn how to plunder these places when they overthrow them? The old Nebuchadnezzar brought his armies and come down to Jerusalem. Took him 3 trips, but what did he do? Cleaned it out and burnt the rest, did. And so God's using that same illustration here. He said, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. Crack of the whip, the clatter of the wheels, galloping horses, and jolting chariots, charging cavalries, flashing swords, glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead people, bodies without number. You know, that had to be an awesome sight, didn't it? You take a beautiful, beautiful city as Nineveh was, with all the the grandeur and stuff that went with that, all the prosperity and the plenty of money, plenty of wine, women, and song, everything was go, go, go. And to see it all just reduced to naught. Those beautiful streets and gardens and stuff was just laying piles of dead people. All bodies without number. People stumbling over the corpses. All because of the whanim lust of a harlot, alluring the mistresses of sororities, sorceries, who enslaved nations by her prostitution and people by her witchcraft. And so all those cities that thought they were going to be exempt from this evil that came upon Nineveh, and because they were friends with them, they gonna didn't happen, did it? And you know, it would probably, I know it would not probably, I know it would astound us to know what some people are thinking about their eternity, you know, and how it's going to be, you know, without any concept whatsoever of the Lord. All these other little places was just doing what? As long as we friends to Nineveh, ain't nobody can touch us. A lot of folks say what? Well, my job, my bank account, my position, my this, my that, ain't nobody can. Well, what can happen in a moment's notice? It can be wiped away. Verse 5 says, I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. All he's saying there is, why would they throw the skirt up over the face? What was that a sign of in their day and time? Shame, you know, just hide their face like many would do. And verse 6, he said, I'll pelt you with filth. I will treat you with contempt and make you a spectacle. It wouldn't be something he'd take you around behind the barn, do, would it? It's something he's going to do where? Right out there in front of where they thought they were safe and secure. Everything was going their way. All who see you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is in ruins. Who will mourn for her? You think about that. Where can I find anyone to comfort you? Is that a mess? I wouldn't want to go in there and try to overrule God, would you? What do you think they know? These outside friends and folks that they've put in their dependence on Nineveh taking care of them, the Assyrian armies protecting them. And now they see it just dead bodies stacked, place being looted and destroyed and tore off and burned up. We seen anything like that today? Yeah. And right now it's going on. Yep, they don't dare go a police car anywhere closer. They'll burn it in a heartbeat, you know, along with anything else. Verse 8 says, are you better than the best situated on the Nile with water around her? The best was a city in Egypt. And Egypt, you know, was a previous world power before the Assyrians overtook them. But it stood in the path of the Assyrians and their being able to push on toward the south to the better land and stuff. So what's taking place. But about 50 years prior to Assyria, Reedy asked the question, are you better than the best? 50 years prior to that, the best was given over to Judah and surrounded the north and the south part of Assyria. And but God said, didn't matter what those atrocities, it doesn't matter who they're going. You believe he's going to do what he said he's going to do? Absolutely. Going to take care of them in their dealings. The river was her defense. The waters her wall. Cush and Egypt were her boundless strength. Put and Libya were among her allies. All those they was friends with. Yet she was still taken captive and went into exile, slavery. Her infants were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. Don't you know that was a sight? Grab that baby from that mama and take it out there to the curve of the street, smash its head. Lots were cast for her nobles, and all her great men were put in chains. You too will become drunk. You will go into hiding and seek refuge from the enemies. And he just, when he's talking about you too will become drunk, and drunk man doesn't have his rightful thinking cap on, does he? And stuff, and Lord, and these once powerful, they're going to be confused, stumbling, staggering, falling over dead bodies, he said here. You know, it's not going to be a pretty sight, is it? Verse 12 says, all your fortresses are like fig trees with their first ripe fruit. When they are shaken, the figs fall into the mouth of the eater. And so what will birds do to a fig tree? You shake it and it fall off on the ground. They have plenty of help. Then ants will come and everything else won't destroy. And look at your troops. They're all women. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire has consumed their bars. And I'm telling you, if you can get a little insight into this, of how it's going to be when the rapture takes place, and the 7 years of tribulation, and then the millennium, and all the things that God's going to, you know, he's, Brother Ernie's verse, he says to eyes not seen, ears not heard, what God has prepared for those. You turn that around and just the same thing. God is not, what eyes have not seen, ears not heard, what God has prepared for those that he's going to destroy, you know. We can see the good side, but that bad side is going to be an awesome thing. And what's taking place. All right. Draw water for the siege. Strengthen your defenses. Work the clay. Tread the mortar. Repair the brickwork. Well, they tried to get back in shape to defend themselves. He said, there the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you down and like grasshoppers consume you. Multiply like grasshoppers. Multiply like locusts. You have increased the number of your merchants till they are more than the stars of the sky. But like locusts, they strip the ground and then fly away. Your guards are like locusts. Your officials like swarms of locusts. They settle in the walls and on a cold day. But when the sun appears, they fly away. No one knows where. Just think about what he's saying here, you know. Here today, gone tomorrow. Nobody knows what happened to them. Now, all these nations, they hated to be ruled by the Assyrians because the Assyrians were merciless. They had no value of life whatsoever. But they wanted to be like the Assyrians. They didn't want to be ruled by them, but they wanted to be like them. And they wanted to be wealthy. They wanted to be powerful. They wanted to be somebody in the world's eyes, you know. And all they had to go on was just count on the Assyrians' friendship and hope they helped them in the same way. But we don't like nobody riding roughshod over us, do we? You know, we want to go along, get along, try to make the best of things. And let's finish this up. It says, O king of Assyria, your shepherds slumber. Your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there's no one to gather them. Nothing can heal your wound. Your injury is fatal. Everyone who hears the news about you claps his hands at the fall. For who has not felt your endless cruelty? How many countries, nationalities, people of whatever sort you want to call them in the world today hate America? Just think about it. And every time that they get an opportunity, that it looks like America has suffered a defeat of some sort, what do? They have celebrating in the streets, don't they? They hold it to high esteem to see America fail. And what big countries are they being friends with, these little countries and stuff? And I never knew much about Greenland or whatever that Trump's bound to determine America's got to have, you know? I ain't figured out yet what them ice things have that so valuable, but I understand it borders us so close and they can get it and build a military force there.
If Russia was to attack the U.S., they'd fly over the Arctic, which would come over Greenland and all that.
Yeah.
Because it's shorter than flying around, the same with China.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but if they, what I can't understand is if they made such a big, why wasn't it important last year, you know, a year before? Why ain't it done been somebody? And then all these Russia and China and all these folks coming out of the woodworks and trying to outmaneuver Trump, you know. But he didn't have no support.
In the meantime, China was building a close enough to it to where they could have access to it but not call it theirs.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, where is Nineveh at? Was it right by Israel or away from Israel?
No, it's away from, it's closer to us than that, you know. Oh, to Nineveh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Nineveh? 50 miles from Jerusalem? Or so. They just got Assyria. God just used them to destroy. That's what he did. Any other question? Comment? Now I'm just hard-headed enough to believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And one of these days, he's going to say, son, go bring my children home. And we're going to be called out of him. And those that are left behind are going to go through this 7 years. We're going to have a bird's eye view and be able to see. But when we can see the awesomeness of the power of God and what he's going to do, something. It's something. Any thought? I like y'all. You're quite wrong. Y'all was going to watch a movie instead of doing study, huh? I see that thing, girl. I've seen them TV streams. Y'all were going to watch. Why didn't you tell me? I'll let you go and run on.
You said you was coming in hot. I was going to see just how hot you was.
Yeah.